Welcome to Insight Nature versus Nurture, a podcast dedicated to expanding your perspective on all things related to health, nutrition, and lifestyle. So sit back, plug in, and enjoy the show.
Good evening.
Hello, Joel.
Hello, hello.
Welcome to the podcast, my friend.
Yes.
My co-pilot.
Yes, we need the third pilot.
Yeah, three pilots, huh?
Yeah, it's plane.
It's our kind of plane.
Yeah, yeah. There he is.
Good always day.
Always the last.
Right? Bringing up the rear.
Last, but certainly not least.
The cleanup hitter.
I like that.
The babe.
The babe pointing.
Yeah. Yep.
I am taking a babe.
Taking the shot. Yes, you are. Yeah. Yes, you are. We've often said you've got the face for podcasting.
The better they can't see me, right?
That voice is sexy.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. I work on it. I practice my sexy voice every day.
Right? Nice. Smoke a pack a day.
That's exactly what it is. Smoke a pack and drink a quart of alcohol.
Yep.
The alcohol.
Alcohol. All right. So let's get to her.
Yes.
Pitter-patter, skid-atter.
Pitter-patter, let's get at her.
So this episode is obesity, okay? And where we're coming, where this is coming from is there was a podcast with Bill Maher, and he's very popular in regards to his political views, and he's very outspoken. He's talk show. He's been kicked off several stations for speaking what's on his mind, which I really respect, right? So he had said some things that were controversial regarding obesity, and really kind of where it stemmed from was his talk with Joe Rogan regarding the government and healthcare and all this stuff, like the misspending and just the misappropriation and the big shitstorm that is the government in the US. But he started to go into their healthcare, and he brought up the point that more people should be taking care of their health, because if more people took care of their health, if the government funded education and people like us and programs like Insight, where we empowered people to make better decisions and empower them to actually, control their health, right? Take the bull by the horns, then there'd be trillions of dollars eradicated from the national debt, right? So, and in that, what he said was obesity is a problem, right?
Right.
Being fat, and what he said it was, how he said it was
fat
using
shaming.
The word fat. Yeah.
Fat shaming.
Well, no, he was labeled for that. But what he was doing was actually putting it out there that this whole movement in regards to like the fact that obesity is like diabetes and so many other chronic illnesses. It's innocuous. Everybody has it, so it doesn't exist. Okay? So his big thing was fat is not healthy. Okay? So the people that are out there that are using this as, love the body that you're in, and his thing was about it being status quo. So instead of changing, just accept who you are.
Right.
So, and these types of things are going on right now with this whole snowflake special, everybody special movement that's happening. And we're missing the point here.
Everyone's so sensitive. It's the problem.
Everybody's so sensitive that, so anyway, he was called out on several platforms saying that, he was being insensitive and, all the other stuff that was associated to it. So I just want to talk about that, get your guys' opinion on it. And especially, Greg and Joel, you guys are in the thick of it. Joel, you're, a fitness expert. Yep. And Greg, you're the
obese
everyday person.
Right? I'm comfortable in the skin that I'm in. Okay.
But you're looking to be better. And that's the thing. You're looking to create a better you. So let's talk about it, guys. Let's get it out there.
I mean, right? I was just looking here and he's been saying fat shaming needs to be more fat shaming, which I agree with. And I don't agree with it at the same time. Do you know what I mean?
I don't agree
in bullying at all, but he's right though. And you're right. But that's why Insight is we started it to flip it on the, flip fat shaming on its head and be like,
yeah,
that's not fat shame, but let's show you how being healthy is a million times better than being comfortable in the skin that you're in. You know what I mean? Like,
you definitely shouldn't be ashamed of it, but you shouldn't be completely comfortable with it.
No.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I think that's where, like, a guy like that, he just basically gets out there and bitch slaps.
He makes waves.
But it creates the conversation where, okay, you know, if being 60 pounds overweight, now, you know, and myself and Joel, we know the consequences of that. For every 10 pounds you put on is 40 pounds on your knees.
I can lose a lot of that.
Right? But this is it. Like, just because it's normal doesn't mean that it is right. And, you know, when you look back in terms of other history, you know, where all of a sudden dogmatic thinking, okay, the cultural movements, like, I don't know, segregation, for example.
Right.
And my mother used to say when I was a kid, if everybody jumped off the bridge, would you do it too?
Well, you can use the same analogy, like slavery back in the day was normal. It's not at all. But back in the time, it was like, oh yeah, you just had slaves and everyone did. It was just like a thing. But like,
it was something that was done. Right. And when it affects everybody, when it's the majority, that's where the innocuous aspect comes from.
The problem comes in. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just acceptable. Like when I was a kid, I grew up, and I was one of three fat kids in my school. Okay. And I didn't know anybody that was diabetic. Now you go to school and I go pick my 6-year-old son up at school, or I go pick my 13-year-old son up at school, and you're starting to see like the trend is changing. There's a lot more kids that are overweight. Now they shouldn't be shamed into being thin, because that's what happened to me. That's what helped me develop my eating disorder.
Right.
Is I felt so ashamed of who I was because I was called every name in the book.
Right.
They call me toothpick. They call me Campbell's kid because I'd straighten my hands out flat and you could see those little dents in my fingers like the Campbell's kids used to have, or the Cabbage Patch kids, because I was overweight. Exactly, Greg. Right. And that developed into a speech impediment. And then it developed into this. Oh, yeah, it was a big mess because I was shamed.
Right.
So I don't agree with the shaming. But here I am, you know, 40 years later or 30 years later. Sorry, it was 13 when I really kind of jumped into that eating disorder. And 13 tends to be the magic number for these behaviors to manifest, because at the age of 13 is when you start to self-identify. It's when you become, you know, interested in the opposite sex or the same sex or whatever, you become self-aware.
Right.
So the shaming aspect was, it lit a fire under me to do something, but there wasn't insight around. There wasn't a community like we've developed where we encourage people to find their own way. And we do it through very healthy means, community support and all these other facets. None of that was around for me. It was all about just piss and vinegar. It was sheer brute force and ignorance. Exercise more, eat less.
The old way of thinking, right?
And I really hurt myself because of it. And then you get guys like Bill Maher out there who make a valid point, but they bring it across like a dick.
Right.
They don't need to do that. And on the other hand, you have these people that are taking a very self-destructive mindset. And what they're doing is, you know what? It is what it is. I am who I am, and I'm going to embrace that. But meanwhile, they're not looking at the actual ramifications of it, because they're of the mindset, I can't get better.
Right.
So I'm going to settle for what I am.
What's worse, though? Someone like Bill Maher that's slapping you in the face saying, you got to, you know, this is a problem? Or someone who's taking you by the hand saying, no, I love who you are and love the skin you're in? They're both trying to do a good thing, but are they both doing a bad thing?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They're enabling.
Right.
Right. One of them is being too aggressive. Like, he's speaking from a point of maybe never even being obese.
Right.
Right. And he's giving his viewpoint, but he's doing it in a way, he's articulating in a way that's aggressive and derogatory. But on the other hand, you have people that are right. They're enabling. Oh, it's OK, sweetheart, if you don't get a job. Oh, it's OK, sweetheart, if you don't go for that
dinner.
Right.
If you eat
a box of Kraft dinner before going to bed.
Yeah. Tell them what they want to hear, basically.
Exactly. Yeah. And so we've got these two very loud aspects going on right now, and they're battling back and forth. There's a lot of zealotry where, you know, I was fat shamed because people were looking at fat and being overweight. And I want to get rid of the term fat. I want to use the term obese.
Right.
Yeah.
People that were obese were looked at as being lazy and they ate too much.
Right.
Now, after 20 years of working with obesity and trying to get people, empower people, you know, and the World Health Organization has classified obesity as malnutrition. So it's not being lazy.
Malnutrition or overnutrition?
No, malnutrition.
Really?
They're starving to death. Absolutely. They're eating a lot of calories, Greg, but they're not eating a lot of nutrition.
Right.
So their bodies have actually, that the body fat that is consumed, the adipose tissue, is an actual, it's the body actually storing, because it can't process the food because of certain mechanisms that take place when you're actually starving. So really, we're dying from we're falling victim to a very similar disease that they're falling victim to in third world countries. Only the symptoms that we have are very different. We gain weight, they lose weight, but ultimately we both succumb to malnutrition, a lack of actual nutrition.
It's interesting.
There's a lot of factors too. I mean, genetics, you know, someone may stop smoking or birth control pills or stuff like that. You know, these are all things that
they replace the bad habit with eating or something like that.
Well, not just that, that make it harder for them to lose the weight. Because,
Bullshit.
Is it? Is it though?
Oh, man, I'm totally, yeah.
Is it though?
Yeah.
What if someone like a thyroid problem though?
But you definitely have.
Those are medical.
But you definitely have the people that stay skinny and they can eat everything they want. And then some people, like, there's different body types. You gotta admit that.
That's somatotypes? How do you say that again?
Yes, that's exactly it. So you get mesomorph, ectomorph, and endomorph. So you have different body types.
I posted that article in the group. That was a good post. I liked that one a lot.
Yeah. And what it does though, and Joel, you're right. I'm egging you on. you do have a predisposition, but I use the analogy of alcoholism. If you have raging alcoholics in your family, you have a higher probability. But the thing is if you change those lifestyle factors, you can actually decrease that, right? And so if you're aware, okay, I have a high probability of becoming an alcoholic because my father's one, my mother's one, my uncles are, my aunts are. So if I stay away from alcohol or abstain from alcohol and live my life a little differently, then the probability of me exhibiting that or expressing that is less. And then you all of a sudden pass that lesserness on to the next generation. So there's it's called epigenetics. So there's so much involved with that. But the thing is that, you know, you need to know how to manage this. And this is, I think, the big elephant in the room that people like Bill Maher and, you know, other people out there that are trying to embrace the obese culture, they're not seeing the middle ground. The truth of it is that anybody can be like healthy doesn't have a weight associated to it. So I'm not a big fan of people wanting to be a particular weight or going in and being assessed by a BMI. You should be this weight, right? At the end of the day, it's how you feel. So I understand the empathy side of it.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is that if you can't perform at a capacity that you want, like if you know deep down inside, listen, I can't get down on the floor and back up to play with my kids, or I really want to walk on the beach, but I feel like I'm not comfortable enough to, like it was decades before I felt I could walk on the beach without my shirt on.
It takes a long time. I wanted to touch on that.
And I would actually avoid the beach with my children. So they missed out on a lot of opportunities to make memories. And I missed out on opportunities to make memories with them because I wasn't – I said I was comfortable, but I wasn't comfortable.
But it's a lot of work and it takes a long time, but it's so worth it. I was never obese, but I was what Greg calls a fat jack. So I was 200 – I was over 240 pounds at the time of my life. I had big arms. I was bulky and strong and all that stuff. But if I bent over to tie my shoes, I would get out of breath. Because my gut would be in the way. I mean, I didn't have flab skin like hanging everywhere. I was because I had lots of muscle, but still, I wasn't like in shape. Like I couldn't have ran like a 5K or anything like that. And it took me, you know, almost a year to go from 200. I went from 240 to 180 some pound. And it took me almost a full year to get it. And I wasn't obese. I was already somewhat in shape. I was training every day almost, you know, so.
But you were obese. Like that's the thing. Like anything over 30 pounds, like you have to think about this, is that your heart is a genetic thing that's passed on, like your features, right? So you have this heart, and this heart is rated for 180 pound individual, all right? And being a firefighter and being in the Navy, I know pump pressures and I know pump capacities, and there's mechanics to this. So if this pump that's rated for 180 pound person is now pumping through 230 pounds, you're decreasing the life expectancy of that pump by increasing its workload. For every 10 pounds of body fat that you have, your heart has to beat through approximately a kilometer more of blood vessel. That literally takes off, it adds one beat to your heart per minute. In 15 years, now this is math, but in 15 years, you've taken 1 year off your life expectancy. All right? That's with 10 pounds of adipose tissue. So although, yes, you might have had more muscle, but the visceral fat and the pressure on your organs, the fact that you would bend over and you'd have trouble oxygenating, like all of those things. So this is where Bill Mayer is coming across. Yeah. And the same with me. Like, you know, these strong men that are morbidly obese and they can lift in insane amounts of strength, they're all being diagnosed with, you know,
metabolic disease. You know,
these – well, no, the heart issues in terms of like hypertrophy of their heart. Their heart has to grow bigger in order to, you know, allow circulation and oxygen and nutrients to get to the muscle. So bodybuilders, strength athletes, not Olympic strength athletes, mind you, because there's a specific weight, right? So these people have to be there's a weight to lift ratio. Right. Whereas, but these big strong guys, like these massive men that you see in these strongman competitions, they're morbidly obese and they're having heart issues because of that.
You know what? Here's the question we probably should have asked at the beginning of this podcast. What is considered obese then? Because the BMI tells me I'm obese, but I don't.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I'm obese. So what is obesity? Right. Like what is it? Is it, you know, 2% body fat? Is it, you know, is like you said, is it 10 pounds or less than 10 pounds of fat in your body? What is considered obese?
Obesity is 30 pounds overweight. Up to 30 pounds over your BMI is overweight. Over and above 30 pounds over your BMI. So my BMI is 170 or 168 is my BMI, like the upper end of my.
But doesn't
BMI.
Count for muscle mass? So is it not the BMI? So,
but hear me out. Hear me out. Okay, I'm not done. So even if you add 30 pounds of muscle mass onto that, your heart still has to beat through that. So these massive 300 pound bodybuilders that are walking around at 8% body fat, they're obese. Like Ronnie Coleman, I remember watching Ronnie Coleman. He was an 8-time Mr. Olympia.
You see him now.
I remember watching.
You see him now?
Right. You see him now. But you know, Greg.
Shut up.
I watched him on the Jay Leno show. And he walked from the curtain into the seat and was out of breath.
So what you're saying is any mass, doesn't matter if it's muscle mass, that's over what your body can carry is considered obese.
Exactly, man. Like, imagine you having an F-150 truck with a fuel pump.
Meant for a Kia.
And you load, right? Meant for a Kia. And you load the back end with gravel, or you load it with
whatever,
I don't know, fat. Yeah, something, right? Same weight, but different material. It's still going to tax the pump.
So, because I just did a quick BMI calculator online. And based on my weight, I'm roughly 190, maybe 188, 189. And at my height, it says I'm overweight. But I mean, I see my abs. Is that
bragging?
No, but I'm just saying. Is that unhealthy? Yeah. Should is being a bodybuilder unhealthy or?
A bodybuilder, no, like the ones that do there, I would say yes, because that's
no, no. But I mean, like, I mean, like the common bodybuilder, like most people that go to gym have a six pack, and no, you know,
it's too much of a good thing. So I mean, that range, that overweight range, that's nothing to be concerned about, because again, like, you know, for me to be my ideal body weight in terms of, you know, body mass and that. I wouldn't have been as good of a firefighter, because I wouldn't have had the weight to carry, to push right. doors down and to lift things up and move people and that type of thing. So, you know, being overweight is not a bad thing. Like, even if someone has, you know, 10 or 20 or 30 pounds of extra weight, it's not life threatening. It's just an inconvenience. You just don't feel as good, right? It's an indicator. But having 10 or 20 or 30 pounds of extra muscle takes up a lot less space than body fat, right? Muscle is more dense and the majority of it is water. So having 30 pounds of extra muscle isn't that big of a deal. But when you get into the 40 and 50 and 60, or if you're 70 or 80 pounds heavier than you should be, muscle or fat, that's the issue. It's the obesity thing. Being overweight, man, we fluctuate, and everybody does. You know, we gain weight some years, we have tough years, we have good years, we have active years, we have years where we're busy or months where we're busy, and our weight can fluctuate 10 or 20 pounds. So that's not that big of a deal. The body can deal with that. Like a pregnant woman, you know, should gain about 25 pounds, not 80 pounds. Right. You know what I mean? So that 25 pounds is like a natural fluctuation that we have in times of feast or famine. It gives us stuff to run off of, and it doesn't really get in the way of us protecting ourselves, that flight or fight mechanism where we have to outwind or outrun, you know, the what's that saying? I don't have to run faster than the grizzly bear. I just got to run faster than the guy next to me. Right? Like that's – it gets in the way. So after you reach a certain body fat percentage or a certain weight, then it gets in the way of your functions. It gets in the way of your hormones. Like the body just, it's not optimal. But what's happening in our culture, and what a guy like Bill Maher brings to light, and a lot of us are thinking it, and he says it, but he just didn't say it very well, is that if everybody is now 30, if 30 pounds overweight is considered an average weight now, right? We're really in trouble here, because really what's happening is I don't see people in my practice, and you know, you guys are getting into that now. People don't really start to take care of their weight until they're like brutally uncomfortable.
Until it's a problem.
Like, it's they're waiting too long. They're waiting till that acute stage where the body starts to show symptoms
That's
of breaking down.
Whole system and everywhere. So it's, we don't
exactly
treat right.
And if you cater to like enable an obese person who's like 60, 80, 100 pounds overweight, and you make them feel comfortable, what you're doing is you're allowing them to settle. So they may feel comfortable at that moment, but the pressure that they're putting on their body, you fast forward 15 or 20 years, right? And the body's going to start to break down, and they're not going to have a very easy time getting back their youth and vitality.
And I agree with that, but I don't think it should be a slap in the face either, because you gotta build that confidence too, right? Like they probably think that, because it's a long journey to if they're especially if they're very overweight, it's a long journey. I'm not, you know, it's that's the reality. Yes. It's gonna take a long time, but it's so worth it. And but you shouldn't like do the slap in the face, because then they're probably already self-conscious and all that stuff. You don't want to hurt them more than they are already. You want to help them. So
there's two types of learners though. Some people respond to that though. Right? Some people respond to that, like get your ass up and go, come on fat boy kind of thing. Right. But most people on the other hand, don't,
I suppose,
they don't use that or work well with that. Right. So,
right. And who was it? It was James Cordon, is the guy that does the carpool karaoke and stuff. And he called Bill Maher out, and he himself is, you know, he's got extra weight that he should be losing, like the circumference around his neck. Like that type of thing is an indicator of a potentiality for sleep apnea and increased blood pressure because of the carotid artery. Like these types of things. And, you know, he's in 20 or 30 pounds, he could feel so much better. But the thing is that we don't know how good we can feel until right, we're exactly. there. Like, I didn't know how good how good being in shape and in being healthy or how easy it is until I actually got there, because it seemed insurmountable. Like, it seemed like it was an overwhelming, daunting task. And I think that's how it's being portrayed. And a lot of people are saying, you know what? I'm just going to love where I'm at instead of aiming higher. And that's not a good thing, guys, because that's where evolution stops. If we just settled, okay, you know what? I don't want to move over there. I'm just going to stay here and I'm going to live here and I'm not going to migrate. And then what happens is we end up rotting.
Yeah, and it's true. Yeah, that's true. Because like I said, when I was 200 and some pounds, I mean, like I said, I was going to gym. I could stack the plates on the bench and in the squat, and I thought I was in shape. But only when I realized I started doing a lot of cardiovascular exercise and insanity workouts, so I realized, my gosh, I'm not in shape. And, I was strong, but that's not considered healthy, right? Like, I took strong for healthy. Like, I'm strong, right. I'm healthy, but it's not. That wasn't it.
Nice.
Right. And you're right. Strong is not healthy. Strong is strong. And this is where insight really kind of shines, is we're showing that they're both different entities. Like, the body and the mind are very different, and fitness and health are very different. They work synergistically together, but they're different entities onto themselves. Yep. And people need to realize that, like, these strong men are really strong,
right?
But are they healthy? And these endurance runners, these people that are putting insane kilometers on their bodies and, you know, like, doing all this insane stuff, are they healthy? And again, like Bill Mayer brings up this point where there's people out there now, and I've seen it and I've lived it personally. Like, I've got such a unique perspective because I've been on both sides of the fence. So as a diagnosed exercise-induced anorexic, I was shamed for being too thin, and I was shamed for over-exercising, for going to the gym instead of out with my buddies, you know, drinking beer and nachos. I was shamed because I was doing that. So really, there was no right answer there. I was damned if I did, and damned if I didn't. So this whole movement with insight, and where we get together, is we need to find some middle ground here. Where do you feel good enough that you could not give, excuse me, fuck what anybody says about you? But that's
no, you're the right. truth Absolutely. Of
it, right? Is if you get to a place where I feel really, really good about myself naked, I feel good about myself because I can play with my kids,
naked,
I can fight off illness. I've got more energy than the day can take from me.
Yep.
Right? These are the things that people aren't paying attention to. They're focusing on what they can lift, or whether or not they have a six pack of abs, or whether or not they can run a country mile. They're not thinking about the actual qualitative aspect of it, like how good they feel. And then you're getting people judging you on those physical things. You know, you walk into a gym and some guy's massive and he's lifting six plates a side on the bench press. You're not really thinking that guy's obese, right? Because we're so focused on the physicality.
So you need a balance of both. Right? You need a balance, basically, is what you're saying. You need to be – don't be ridiculously strong in one end and that's all you focus on, but don't, you know, run for days and days. And then don't just give up and be like, oh, man, I love my body the way it is. You need to be somewhere in like the middle of those Venn diagram, or what do you call those things?
Me being the workout guy, it all ties into, like, when I say I just enjoy working out for the exercise itself, not for the benefits, not for the looks, for anything else. It's just I get to do it every day. I'm able to do my workouts every day, and I truly enjoy it every day. And it allows you to do that, right? It's not a chore anymore. It's not like you're not torturing your body or anything like that. Your body is healthy, and you can use it to do whatever you want, right? So,
and it's not for everybody. Like that's the thing. Like, Joel and I love to work out, and Greg, you love to work out, but our body compositions are different. And just like you'd go out and buy different cars for different reasons. Like, you know, you go to Europe, you go to places and you have incredibly healthy people, but they're not necessarily fit, but they're incredibly healthy. They're not hypermuscular. They don't have six pack of abs, but they're trim, they're aesthetic, they're well balanced, like all of these things. So really, it's just getting to a point where you're going through the process, you're taking the journey, and along that journey, you're starting to identify with your own unique vision of what health is to you. And if health is being 20 or 30 pounds a little bit more muscular, or 20 or 30 pounds with a little bit more body fat via the dad body, but in doing that, you've got, you know what? I would rather spend my time right. playing with my children than niching out an hour to have a trainer scream at me, or I'm just not into lifting heavy shit. I just don't want, yep. it's just not for me. So I'd rather be more, you know, in kinesiology, they call it neat movement, right? Right. I just want to move around a lot. I just want to be free. Like it's, right. it's all correct. But when you look at obesity as a symptom of something that's more nefarious, then it's like, okay, we need to take this seriously. Like making bigger hospital beds and bigger caskets and bigger, you know, beds, yeah. everything, bigger airline yeah. seats, right? Bigger airline seats, bigger movie seats. We're enabling a population to be sure. very unhealthy when really you need to sit in a seat and not fit in that seat in order to realize, you know what? Shit's got to change. I have to do something. I have to contact and, you know, I have to make this change happen because I'm not comfortable. The more comfortable we make people that are, you know, obese, the more obesity we're going to have because water will always travel the path of least resistance. And our culture promotes obesity because of the lifestyle that and our lifestyle promotes.
The real scary thing, too, promotes. Is like you say, this is now the new norm. So then we adjust to that. What becomes the next new norm? Is 60, 70, 80, 90 pounds over, you know, overweight
right.
becomes the new norm? Like, is that the trend we're That's, going in? Like, is this like.
It's already happened, Greg. I mean, you know, you walk around and you see people that are 30 pounds right. overweight. They look normal. Whereas back 100 years ago, like if you go to Asia right now, we would be considered obese. They would be calling us like, you know, fat. Yeah, absolutely. Like I have a few clients that I work with right now from other cultures and it's their parents are relentless. You know, I have a woman from El Salvador. I have, and these people are maybe 30 pounds overweight. They'd be considered normal. And, you know, here in our culture, they wouldn't even stand out in a crowd, but yet their families and their relatives. And when they go home and visit, they are relentless in regards to really? Saying how big they are wow. and how massive. Yeah, it's crazy. So it's all relative, right? So the issue with us is that it's become such a normalcy for someone to be 30 pounds overweight that now 60 pounds overweight, obesity right. is the new overweight. They've right. downgraded, just like yeah, you were saying.
Just gonna try. You ever watch the movie WALL-E? It's like we're going to be
– Oh, yeah.
That's, are we going to be those that. People in the chair just like –
Yeah.
Everything's automated. Yeah.
Yeah. The robot, right. everything's automated. They're talking to each other side by side on their devices yeah. and they're having food sent to them.
I mean, we're almost right getting to there. Their chairs. We're almost getting so there.
Does that sound yeah. right? Right. We get skipped the dishes and we're sitting at the table and we're texting one another at the table. So honestly, I think it was a little bit truer than
right.
a lot of us would like to believe.
That's the way it's going to go.
Yeah. But we need people like Bill Maher out there. You know, he may be a dick, but the thing is that there's always truth. Yeah, there's always truth. There's truth to what he does. There's truth to people that are out there and getting people to just calm the hell down. You don't need to have a six-pack of abs. You don't have to fit into this model, you know, or whatever they're selling at that mm-hmm. time, that trending physique. Be yourself. But the thing is you're never going to be yourself by following someone else's diet or following someone else's rules. You need to find sure. yourself. Right. And I think that's where the biggest issue, like the more diets and the more extreme behavior that's put out there, the more that people start to go to these polar opposite ends where you have these extremists where they look down right. the nose of people that are overweight saying, you know, I exercise six times a week and I weigh and measure my food and I take all these supplements and I have no friends and no social life and I'm going to die alone. Yeah. Right. Or you have on the other end, the obese person, and I'm speaking from experience on both sides, the obese person who's everybody's best friend is always there for everybody, but does so in a way that is damaging themselves because of their self-worth. They feel like they need to contribute because they don't, right. No one would like them if they did not. And that's what I fell into. And people accept that. But the thing is that I didn't accept that myself. I always felt empty and I always knew that I was capable of more. And I was always judging myself, even though others might not have been judging me. You know, once they get to know you, you just become, you know, that person. I was Neil, whether I was fat or skinny, right. I was always still Neil, but I always judge myself for that. And there's a lot of people out there that are putting on this facade that I feel really good in my body and I'm beautiful and I love myself, and that's great. But ultimately inside they're not, right.
Do you really love yourself? And are you just, yeah, like you said, are you just faking it? Are you just trying to cover some pain up or are something like that? You mean like, yeah. Or something, or.
Yeah. Yeah. And you very well could love yourself, but the thing is that, right. Are you settling? Like, is life about settling and making it through, or is it about challenging yourself and developing? And, you know, like we've talked about, guys, is life is about looking backwards and knowing that you had the best life by continuously every day, right. Trying to be a better, right. You know what I mean? And, you know, for me, it was all about, I wanted to tuck my shirts in. I wanted to be able to wear something that I wanted to, mm-hmm. not something that fit. Mm-hmm. Right? Those little things. But I hid that very well because I was always smiling. I was always happy. Right? But it was a facade. And then when I became sick and grotesquely underweight, it was the same thing. Right? I used exercise to hide away from everything. And if someone called me skinny, it was, well, I can outrun you. Like, there was always the confidence in right? But then eventually my body suffered. I became anemic. With my malnutrition from not eating and overexercising. And then when I was obese, it was a psychological issue. It was the self-image and the stuttering, and then eventually the selective mutism. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been around the block.
Man, that's why I like hanging out with you. You're the full package. Now. You're the real deal.
Yeah.
I love it.
And they're done. That got the t-shirt, boys.
Well, that's 36 minutes in. I think that's – what do you think?
Yeah, I think. Definitely. Yeah, we could roll on this for a long time, but again, a lot of it is just opinion based and, you know, viewpoints. And it's always a good place to start, guys, because the majority of this is not, you know, evidence based medicine. It's really just a culture that's gone apeshit, and it seems to be running at each other from two polar opposite ends. Like, I'm dealing, right. with people that don't give a shit anymore because they're just overwhelmed. And then I have these Nazis that are just zealots, and they have no personality. They have no life, and everybody's aspiring to look like them. But if they rolled back the curtains and took a look at their lives, you wouldn't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole. So there's got to be this beautiful sweet spot in between that
where insight lies.
Yeah.
I love it.
Right? Exactly.
All right. Yep. All right. Well, until next week.
Thank you. Awesome, boys. Thanks again. Thanks for everybody who's listening. Like and share as much as you can.
Have a good evening.
See ya.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye.